Chapter 34. It started with stormtroopers. Their pure white and black uniforms shone sharply against the sleepy little town. They took over the diner. The Chagrian owner, his name Jin learned, was Gawain, tried to protest the loss of his establishment, but then, one day, he was simply gone. Dasa, the owner of the refinery, was an older human woman. She and Akshaya started talking, and then more people joined. The foreman, some of the workers.
"Please, don't let them come here," Jin begged. "Meet somewhere else. Let them meet. We should go. We have your ship."
Akshaya kissed Jin on the forehead.
"When the giant stoops down, even ants can win," she said.
"That makes no sense,"
Jin called after her as Akshaya went into the main room of their house, where the small group of dissenters met.
"You realize that, right? That makes no sense."
Hatter took her out on the planet hopper so they didn't have to be present while the refinery workers met. Jin could tell he didn't like doing it. The only time he ever expressed a reluctance to fly. He wanted to sit by his mother. He wanted to feel like the words they said in secret mattered.
"The Empire thinks they can come in and just buy Dasa's refinery for almost nothing,"
Hatter growled, swiping at the long blue-green grass as he cut a swath through it.
"School can't be bought."
"That's what I'm afraid of," Jin muttered.
"Zosat hasn't left, you know,"
Hatter said, shooting Jin a look.
"What's that supposed to mean?"
"He said he has friends. He said they could help."
Jin wondered what Zosad's little rebel group was like. Idrissa had spoken of senators on their side, of larger players who could really make a difference.
"I guess we'll see," Jin said.
When they flew back to town that evening, a pair of assault tanks stood on either side of the main street, and a walker guarded the spaceport, its two long legs bent backward and the command viewports protruding like eyes from the armor plating. Another walker rumbled toward Akshaya's hangar. Hatter landed the planet hopper and jumped out. Jin stayed behind, hooking up her data pad to the mainframe of the ship's computer. She could hear Hatter's voice rising in volume. By the time she stepped out of the ship, he was shouting.
"You can't do that!" he bellowed.
He caught sight of Jin.
"They say our ships are grounded."
"Come on,"
Jin said gently, touching Hatter's arm.
"If you have an issue with Imperial policy, I can take you to see my commander,"
the stormtrooper said, his voice mocking. Hatter opened his mouth, but Jin pressed her fingers into his arm.
"Come on,"
she repeated, more firmly this time. He followed her.
"I don't know how you can stand to do it,"
he said, hissing angrily.
"You could have taken him out. I know you could. You could be fighting back."
He didn't say it, but all Jin heard was, "You should be fighting back." They stopped outside Akshaya's little house. Jin stared into Hatter's eyes, hard, trying to see the things she had lost in them.
"You don't understand," she said finally.
Hatter let out a huge breath, and all his anger and frustration left with it.
"You're right," he said simply. "I don't."
That night, there was no meeting. Dasa was gone. The foremen were gone. Imperial technicians now ran the refinery.
"I have all the critical documents from the ship,"
Jin said, holding up her data pad. She downloaded information into two different port chips and slid one over to Akshaya.
"I've forged clearance slips for the freighter and the planet hopper," she continued. "It won't be perfect, but it should enable you to at least confuse whatever blockade the Empire set up around school and give you a chance to escape. We'll split up. You take the freighter, I'll take the hopper."
The planet hopper only had a simple hyperdrive that couldn't handle more than a small jump, and without a navicomputer, she would have to input the coordinates with the port chip. Jin was still no pilot, but she knew enough about the little ship to get where she needed to go, and she knew Akshaya would never agree to be separated from her son. Akshaya stared down at the chip.
"They're not gone, she said finally. Dasa and the others.
Jin looked at Hatter, at the empty kitchen.
They're not here, Akshaya conceded. But they're not gone. I'm sure the Empire has them on a ship for negotiations or something, she added lamely.
Why are we splitting up? Hatter asked Jin.
We need to start over. It'll be easier to do with two ships instead of one.
Jin slid her datapad over to him, showing him the system she'd pre-programmed into the port chip, along with their forged clearance codes. The five-point system was close enough to school for the Planet Hopper to handle, but had no mining or refinery resources that would interest the Empire. Furthermore, the entire system was littered with space debris, forcing ships to limp across from planet to planet in a series of short and inconvenient sublight speed routes. It was the perfect place to hide. There were five inhabitable planets, but Jin had set the coordinates to the space station in the center. They could decide where to go from there. Hatter took the port chip that his mother refused. He nodded at Jin grimly.
Tomorrow, Jin said.
We'll be ready, Hatter replied,
even as his mother tried to say it wouldn't be necessary. Most of what Jin needed she wore. The knife Saw had given her in her boot, the kyber crystal her mother had given her around her neck, the scarf to keep it hidden. Her satchel, stuffed with a few changes of clothes, a med kit, ration cubes. Only what she could carry.
It was too similar to Lamu.
All of it. The stormtroopers. The fear. It was a nightmarish repetition of when her first family, her last home, was taken away. She planned to leave at dawn. She hadn't planned on the stormtroopers attacking at midnight. The door was kicked in. Jin, already dressed, scrambled up. She cracked open her bedroom door.
What is the meaning of this?
Akshaya cried, running forward. Hatter followed.
We have reports that you are harboring a person of interest to the Empire,
the stormtrooper said, his voice ringing.
Are you saying my son is of interest to the Empire?
Akshaya asked, drawing Hatter closer to her.
Someone of the name Jin, last name unknown, possible ties to a terrorist cell.
Jin gently closed the door of her room. The only window was set high in the wall, and narrow, but she could squeeze through it. Akshaya was buying her time. She heard Hatter and Akshaya arguing with the stormtroopers, but before she was all the way out the window, she also heard the sound of smashing furniture and more doors being broken down. Jin threw herself out of the narrow window, landing on the ground outside with a thud. She sucked in her breath, but didn't make another sound. Stormtroopers were patrolling the perimeter of Akshaya's house and the hangar. Through the open window, Jin heard a stormtrooper reporting in.
She was here.
Jin crouched under the window. How much did they know? It must have been Zosad. He had been so obvious that he was recruiting for an anti-imperial group. And his little outburst as she left, definitely overheard. Maybe they thought she was working with him and his freedom fighters. Or maybe they knew. She clutched her kyber crystal necklace through her shirt. They didn't know. They couldn't. She heard footsteps, heavy, armored footsteps, making their way around the house. No time to think. No time for regrets. She couldn't just sit and wait to be found. There was no Saw to save her this time. Jin leapt up and darted through the long grass toward the hangar. The walker was still positioned near the entrance, but it was powered down and, Jin hoped, empty. She ran through its legs, making straight for the door.
Hey! Stop!
A stormtrooper shouted.
Blaster fire marred the door seconds after Jin dove through it.
So much for reaching the ship unnoticed. Jin hoped Akshaya and Hatter would take the opportunity she was about to give them, and she hoped whoever controlled the walker was still asleep.
The hangar door burst open as Jin dashed up the gangway of the planet hopper. She yanked the port chip out of her pocket, then initiated the launch sequence of the ship. Blaster fire scarred the boarding ramp as she raised it. Jin flicked on the rocket boosters, spraying fire.
She couldn't hear the screams of the stormtroopers that had been rushing her, but she imagined them being cut short by the blasts. Jin didn't bother turning the planet hopper around. It had minimal charges that could be used to break up asteroids. Jin fired them straight into the hangar wall, clearing a hole through the building. She rode high and hard, heading straight into the sky. Jin allowed herself one look down. Akshaya's little house was on fire. But they made it out, she told herself. They did. The walker lurched to life. Jin cursed under her breath as the walker's main cannon swiveled around, aiming straight for her. She spun the little shuttle in a loop, swerving out of range of the blast, but almost losing control of the ship in the process. Hatter's quick flight lessons hadn't prepared her for a true space chase. That was close, she muttered under her breath. Jin looped back around, desperately scanning the ground for signs of Akshaya and Hatter. There! They were surrounded by stormtroopers, the cluster of their armor shining like a bright white patch amid the tall grass. Jin swooped the planet hopper down, aiming straight for the ground. The stormtroopers tried to fire their blasters at the ship, but when Jin didn't slow, they scattered like leaves on the wind. Akshaya and Hatter stood their ground, confident that Jin wouldn't hit them. Jin pulled the ship up moments later, and she grinned as she saw Hatter and Akshaya run straight for the hangar and the freighter. The walker stomped through the grass toward Jin. Aerial reinforcements would be there in moments, she knew. She could only try to draw away their fire. She swerved down, moving in zigzags across the sky, maneuvering so it was hard for the slow cannons of the walker to follow. The scanner on the console started beeping, alerting her of more ships approaching. Jin cursed again, loudly, her heart thudding in her chest. But a small part of her relished this. The chase. The danger. The fear made her feel alive. An explosion on the ground filled the cockpit window with light. Through the smoke and flames of the overturned walker, Akshaya's freighter soared into the sky. The freighter had no cannons or guns, so Akshaya had simply rammed the Imperial machine. Hop it to Freida, hop it to Freida, Jin said, flicking on the comm switch.
The ship has a name,
Hatter's voice came over the intercom, as casual and carefree as always. Ponta One here. Jin whooped at the sound of his voice. Let's get out of here, Ponta One, she said.
Copy that, love,
Hatter responded. She could hear the excitement in his voice, the thrill. And then, the TIEs arrived. Five of them. Black against the night sky. The scanner came alive, sounding warnings. Straight to the port ship's location, Jin shouted into the comm link. Break atmosphere. Jump to light speed as soon as you can. Copy?
Copy.
Akshaya's voice was strained, distracted. Jin's planet hopper had less power than the freighter, but the freighter hadn't had a chance to get up to full speed, and it wasn't as nimble or easy to turn. Jin swooped in, drawing fire from the TIEs, leading all the ships higher and higher. Something silver and yellow flashed through the sky, zipping faster than the planet hopper could ever hope to go. Jin grinned. She recognized the Y-wings from Hollows Idrissa had shown her. Zosad may have been in one of those ships, his so-called rebels in the others. At least five, drawing fire away from the civilian ships and school. A dogfight broke out, distracting the TIEs. The Empire tried to hail both the planet hopper and the freighter, but Jin didn't reply, and the open comm link told her Akshaya didn't either. Laser fire streaked past Jin's cockpit, a bright light against the blackness of space as she burst out of school's atmosphere. Beeping ran through the open comm link. Moments later, the TIEs and Y-wings streaked up and out, swarming like wasps. A blur of light and metal, yellow and black. Ponta One, you okay? Jin screamed into the mic.
Go, go, go!
Hatter's voice urged her forward.
It's getting hot out here, Akshaya said.
A plasma blast fired close to Jin, too close for comfort. She couldn't tell if it had been a stray shot from one of the Y-wings or a failed shot from a TIE, and she didn't want to stick around to find out. Behind her, something exploded. The force of it pushed her little shuttle faster, but she was already slipping into hyperspace, the blue-gray light filling the cockpit window. She had escaped.
Imperial Detention Center and Labor Camp, LEG 817. Location, Wobani. Prisoner, Liana Halleck, number 6295A. Crimes: forgery of Imperial documents, resisting arrest, possession of an unsanctioned weapon, aggravated assault.
Month 04.
Jin's cellmate, Zarada, curled up in the tightest ball she could manage. Her soft white hair was matted and dirty, and her big yellow eyes were on Jin. Jin rolled over, but she could still feel Zarada's gaze. "What?" Jin hissed at her cellmate. Zarada blinked.
"How do you know?"
she asked.
"Know what?"
Jin said in a low voice. They waited while a stormtrooper patrolled the hall, his boots thudding on the metal floor. Jin counted his steps until she couldn't hear them anymore.
"Know what?"
she repeated. Zarada's look was sorrowful.
"When to give up?"
Her voice pitched a notch higher as she looked down at her own body, her knees pushed against the top of the cubby, her legs bent stiffly, her back curling just to fit her massive frame into the cramped space.
"I'm old," she said. A sob choked her voice. "And my sentence is long."
Jin knew she should say something. Words flooded her mind. Words of her mother talking about the Force, of her father saying all he did was for her, of Saw and his impossible battles, of Akshaya and her impossible hope. But all those words belonged to other people. And now, in the dark, as she watched the hope die in her cellmate's eyes, Jin found she had no words of her own to give. The next evening, Zarada and Jin were assigned to the same work detail, inserting stabilizers in the craggy canyons west of the prison. The Empire was going to build another factory, but the planet had been experiencing minor ground quakes. Jin didn't like the job, but she did enjoy being outside. Their transport took them 20 clicks south of the main prison compound, to a series of canyons that looked like the cracks in the crusts of bread Jin's mother used to bake. The stabilizer units had to be inserted into the rock face at a horizontal angle, as deep as Jin and her fellow prisoners could get them. The stormtroopers stood watch as she and her fellow prisoners lowered themselves into narrow canyons, the crevices in the rock rough and jagged. They were never allowed any type of safety rigging. But Jin was glad for Zarada. Lunnoxes were meant to be outside. Being cramped in their tiny prison cell or behind factory walls surely didn't help her cellmate's depression. Not that there was much light from the sun. Wobani was covered in a thick cloud of space dust that rarely provided a glimpse through the atmosphere. Jin was grateful for Saw's training as she lowered herself, her tools strapped to her back, into the crevice. She kept her back against one wall and her feet in front of her, slowly inching down as far as she could, about 20 meters. The climb up would be worse. She knew from experience that her legs would cramp and her back would twist as she applied force to her tools against the hard rock wall. She heard grunting nearby and saw Zarada just a few meters from her, climbing down the canyon wall. She nodded to her cellmate. It was rare they were positioned so closely together. Zarada didn't nod back. She leaned as far against the wall as she could, staring up and up into the sky.
"You there, Lunnox, get to work,"
a stormtrooper shouted from the top of the canyon, pointing his blaster into the crevice.
"It never ends, Jin,"
Zarada said, without turning to her. Jin could not deny the truth.
"You too, work!"
The stormtrooper swept his blaster toward Jin, then back to Zerada.
No talking!
Jin took out her laser pick and started scanning the rock face. The laser cut deep into the surface of the stone, then beeped in Jin's hand, and she read the information. Jin set up the impact hammer drill to start digging into the hard rock. The tool vibrated her very bones, and bits of rock flew back, cutting into her exposed skin. As soon as the hole was big enough, Jin slid the stabilizer unit into the rock. She started the tedious work of climbing back up the canyon. Jin had to concentrate on her footing, and her back was slick with sweat. Dust caked her skin, streaking and then drying in the cooling air. By the time she reached the top, lugging the impact hammer drill behind her, she was bone weary. The light was fading, casting long shadows over the broken surface of the planet. Terms like day and night didn't really matter on Wobani. The prisoners worked 15 straight hours and then ate and slept for 8 more. Usually their shifts coincided with the sun, but sometimes they worked alongside droids at night.
Hurry up down there,
a stormtrooper called, leaning over the side of the canyon where Zerada was. Jin moved closer.
Zerada was still in the crevice, her laser pick loose in her hand.
She hadn't even taken out her impact hammer drill. If she didn't hurry with her work, she'd receive a mark for top level. Zerada's yellow eyes looked up. Jin thought maybe she was glaring at the stormtrooper, and then maybe that Zerada was looking at her. But she realized that the Lunnox was really just looking at the thick clouds in the sky, as if they had entranced her.
Prisoner, to work, now!
The stormtrooper shouted. Another stormtrooper moved forward, his blaster raised, his head cocked as he listened to orders from the warden.
Zerada! Jin yelled.
What's the point?
Zerada asked, looking back down at the rock in front of her.
There is no point, Jin whispered.
The answer came to her immediately, slipping from her mouth before she could bite back the words. But it was true. Perhaps the truest thing she'd ever spoken. There was no point. Not to the Empire that was mercilessly cruel for no reason. Not to the people who stood against the Empire, causing just as much destruction and death as the government they opposed. There was no point to loving family who left or men who died.
Lie, a voice whispered in Jin's head,
the word niggling through her brain.
Lie to her.
Zerada looked up, and Jin could see in her cellmate's yellow eyes something that she hadn't seen there before. Determination. And with horror, Jin realized just what Zerada was determined to do.
Tell her there's still hope, the voice in Jin's mind whispered. Lie.
Jin opened her mouth, but no sound came out. Instead, the stormtrooper closest to her yelled into the canyon.
Get to work!
There was a little sad smile on Zerada's face.
No,
she said simply. And she raised the laser pick to her own eye and depressed the trigger. For one brief moment, red light filled the Lunnox's skull, turning her other yellow eye orange. Then there was no more light, but there was much more red. Zerada's blood splattered across the canyon wall behind her, smearing in her white fur as she slumped deeper into the canyon, her lifeless body wedging between the narrow stones.
Right, the stormtrooper said flatly. You there. Go down and get her gear.
He pointed to Jin. Jin's eyes blurred.
It was this lack of humanity, lack of respect for life itself. This was what had killed Zerada.
I said go.
The stormtrooper pointed into the canyon, at the red-smeared rock face. Jin's hands curled into fists, but then her fingers grew slack. She hadn't even been able to lie to Zerada when she knew it may have saved her life.
She couldn't lie to herself. There was no point. No hope. Nothing at all but this. Orders and following them. Jin dropped her own tools and lowered herself into the canyon. As the other prisoners ate their allotted ration cubes and drank from the filtration canteens, Jin sweated and grunted and worked her way down the wall. She tried to avoid the blood.
When she reached Zarada, her hands shook from exhaustion and emotion as she pulled the impact hammer drill from the Lunix's shoulders and then reached for the laser pick still wrapped in her hand.
Jin blew out a shaky breath, unable to see properly through her tears. She looked up, and for the first time since she had landed on Wobani, the thick clouds of space dust parted. For just a moment, she could see past the planet's atmosphere into the night sky sprinkled with stars. They looked deceptively close, but she knew it was simply a trick of the eyes. The stars weren't close together. Hyperspace made the distance seem negligible. But the truth? The truth was that the stars were separated by light years. Each star was its own system, each planet its own world, each person in their own individual prison. There was nothing connecting anyone. Jin's necklace pressed against her collarbone, reminding her of her mother. She closed her eyes and allowed herself a moment to remember Lyra Erso. The strong set of her jaw, her flashing eyes. She had promised Jin that there was meaning to this life. "The Force," she had said, "connects us all living things. We don't always feel it, but we're connected." Jin knew that her mother had meant for those words to give her comfort, hope, but they were hollow. As dead as Zarada. Jin shook her head and got back to work, climbing up the canyon wall and leaving behind her cellmate. There was nothing connecting anyone. The distance between stars was filled only with silence.